Yes, well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience in standing by, and welcome to the THC Executive Committee meeting. All participants are in listen-only mode, and later we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. I will now turn the conference over to Chairman John Nall. Please go ahead.
Well, good morning. Again, I was giving an absolutely brilliant speech that turned out to be talking to myself. I'd like to say good morning, everyone. Today is April 15th, 2020. It is now 10:05 a.m. This meeting of the Executive Committee has been properly posted with the Secretary of State's office according to the provisions of the Texas Open Meetings Act, Chapter 551 of the Texas Government Code. Pursuant to the governor's executive order to avoid gatherings of more than 10 and the governor's March 16, 2020 suspension of certain provisions of the Texas Open Meetings Act, the April 15, 2020 meeting of the Texas Historical Commission Executive Committee will be held by telephonic conference call as authorized under Texas Government Code Section 551.125. Members of the public will have access by calling this number, 1-844-721-7241. The access code 356-0787, and it's toll free. An electronic copy of the agenda and a copy of any meeting materials are available at www.thc.texas.gov/teleconferences. A recording of the meeting will be available after April 16, 2020. To obtain a recording, please contact Esther Brickley at 512-463-5768. The members of the Executive Committee may discuss and or take action on any of the items listed in the agenda. And as a note, the Executive Committee may go into executive session, which would then be closed to any public involved in the call on any agenda item, if appropriate, and authorized by the Open Meetings Act, Texas Government Code, Chapter 551. I would now like to go through a roll call of committee members. Members, please respond by saying present. Vice Chair John Crane, Dallas.
Present.
Secretary Pete Peterson, Alpine.
Present.
Earl Broussard, Austin.
Present.
Daisy White, College Station.
Present.
And I'm THC Chairman John Nall from Houston. Roll call for any other participants. Jim Brousseff, Chairman of the AAB.
Present.
Mark Wolf, THC Executive Director.
Present.
David Gordon, Office of the AG.
Present.
Brad Jones, Archaeology Division Director.
Present.
Dr. Steve Tomka, Principal Investigator, Robuck Kister, Inc.
Present.
Brittany McCain, Bioarchaeologist, Robba Kistner, Inc.
Present.
Christine Nichols, Archaeologist, Alamo Trust.
Present.
Douglas McDonald, Alamo Trust.
Present.
Jeff Gordon from the GLO.
Present.
William Bliss, GLO. William Bliss, GLO. He is not present. Hector Valle, GLO. Hector Valle, GLO, not present. We have established a quorum, and I declare this meeting open. There are no absences on the executive committee, so let me make a statement. Members, since this is a telephonic meeting, for the record, please be sure to state your name when speaking and or when making a motion. Now, a discussion and possible action of the Alamo Archaeological Permit application for the Mission San Antonio Alamo Burial Exhumation, the number 41BX6 in Bexar County, submitted by the General Land Office. I'm going to call on Brad Jones with any backup from Mark Wolf. Brad?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Brad Jones, Division Director for the Archaeology. Yes, as you are all aware, we are here today to discuss the permit application that has been submitted by the General Land Office to the THC requesting issuance of an archaeological exhumation permit for the Alamo to be issued to Dr. Steve Tomka at Rava Kistner Incorporated. The permit requests permission to exhume the four interments that have been identified within the Alamo Church under previous investigations conducted under Archaeological Permit 8713 as part of the architectural study of the Alamo. The permit was received and reviewed by THC staff to address its technical requirements under the Antiquities Code. As you can all see in your packet, we did review the permit. We found it to be technically sufficient for the Antiquities Code. However, we had a number of questions regarding certain primarily methodological aspects of the permit. These focused on aspects of how the in-situ recording of the burials would be conducted. It also involved how photography would be used as a documentary device, as well as what the ultimate disposition of those photographs would be. We also asked for additional clarification on types of analysis which will be conducted on the human remains if they are exhumed, particularly to expand the methodological or analytical practices they were recommending to give potentially better information relating to the ancestry or background. We also asked that they provide us with some additional information on possible alternate locations within the church or plans for the burials should there be issues with their selected location. And we also asked questions regarding their proposed site monitoring. And finally, we asked them whether if they could provide us with a list of all the qualified project archaeologists who'd be involved. They have submitted to us at this point a revised draft. Staff have not formally reviewed it. We are awaiting the results of both of these meetings before making a final response. I would like to add also then that yesterday we conducted the Antiquities Advisory Board meeting to discuss this. The Antiquities Advisory Board was provided an overview of the project by Dr. Steve Tomka, who is also here, and after I finish, we'll provide just additional brief comments. He was assisted by Christy Nichols from ATI. In the course of the discussion, which also included public comment, two issues I think worth pointing out were brought up and discussed by the AAB members. The first of these deals with the question of DNA testing. The original permit did not call for DNA testing. There was a considerable question on the part of the AAB as to whether or not this was appropriate given the mixed population potentially represented by the Alamo burial assemblage. As I'm sure many of you know, this has been a question raised by a number of public comments we have all received. The other question which they discussed and which led to a permit amendment is the issue of consultation with non-lineal descendants. This is another issue that has arisen quite a bit in the public comment we have received. There was concern that the current organization of the consultation did not include adequate input from outside communities. When I say outside communities, I mean non-federally recognized tribes, particularly as well as other individuals in the community who may be lineal descendants. The result, the outcome of this discussion was an amendment to the original motion that you have all been provided with, which specifically requests that the Alamo Trust conduct consultation with all appropriate lineal descendants. I think at this moment, I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Steve Tomka so that he can make any additional comments. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Brad. Good morning, Chairman Now and distinguished members of the Executive Committee. It is an honor to be allowed to speak and address to the committee. It has been a long time since I've been in front of one, so it is a pleasure to speak to you all and to plead our case for the approval of this permit application to allow the exhumation of the intentional burials encountered at the Alamo. The exhumations will allow the continuation of critical multidisciplinary assessments of the church to ensure that proper preservation measures and procedures can be implemented in the near future to preserve this Texas treasure for future generations who really need to hear the stories of the magnificent events that this site was part of over its hundreds of years of its existence. So we plead to make sure that we can preserve the structure for many, many generations to come to tell those magnificent stories. Having said that, I would like to briefly get into the weeds of where we are right now with the project. As Brad summarized, we have four archaeological units out of eight that were excavated in and around the Alamo Church that contain human remains. Those four units are four of the five units excavated within the church. Three other units were excavated outside of the church, around the perimeter of the church. Neither of those uncovered human remains. The excavated units showed to us that the ultimate depth to allow us to expose the foundations that will need to be observed and then subsequently instrumentation will need to be inserted into those foundations. The ultimate depth at which we need to reach the bottom of those foundations is 175 to 180 centimeters. The burials that we have encountered in the church in those four units are occurring anywhere from 120 to 60, 50 centimeters below the pavement of the church. Therefore, for us to reach the terminal depth for the preservation instrumentation and observations to be made needs to be another 50 to 100 centimeters below the current termination depth of those units. In those units where remains have been encountered, archaeological work has stopped. We have very preliminary information on the nature of those burials. We do not have full information because due to respect and issues related to this permit, we suspended work in those units until the discussion and hopefully the issuance of this permit to move forward. In the meantime, we are looking at all of the work being on hold. The preservation work that needs to be done is on hold. The human remains that are buried right now under soil and muslin material are there camped so that they are not further degrading and drying out. We are a bit concerned about the fact that the longer these remains are open and the pits are open, further degradation of those remains may occur. So we urge that action be taken to allow us to exhume the remains now rather than allowing them to potentially degrade longer. Once removed, they would be housed in a climate-controlled, highly secured vault, and that would allow us to conduct minimal analyses, which is what is permitted under protocols derived and determined early in the project by the Alum Mission Archaeological Advisory Committee. So at this point, all activities are on hold until further notice by this committee. And I would be happy to address and answer further questions as we continue this meeting.
This is John now. Brad, do you have any comments?
I think I would like to basically let the executive committee begin by asking questions. As I said, we do find the basic technical aspects of the permit sufficient, but we do have some additional concerns based on the AAB discussion, but we would like to hear what the executive committee is questioning or has thoughts about.
Okay. I'm going to take the chairman's privilege here. I want to thank John Crane for his work yesterday in the AAB call, and I'm going to call on him to point out to the rest of the executive committee some of the issues that were raised. John, if you could please identify
yes.
yourself, identify yourself, and then comment as you feel free.
It's John Crane, and I audited the AAB meeting yesterday, and I thought it was an excellent meeting. I was particularly pleased with the public comment. I thought we had some very excellent questions raised, and of course, we always have great talent on the AAB, and there were hot buttons recognized right off the bat, and one of them was DNA analysis. I think that there was a strong feeling on the part of several AAB members that you know, there should be a way to do DNA, and we were advised by, I believe, Christy Nichols of a prior existing relationship we had with a group that was a problem for us. And I wonder if that Christy could speak to that item having to do with the mission group. Christy.
Sorry, I was still on mute. So in the relation to the DNA testing,
Christy.
Yes.
Please identify yourself and who you're with.
Christy Nichols, Alamo Trust, and
thank,
I'm the archaeologist there. Okay. In relation to the DNA testing, as we were developing the human remains treatment protocol, one of the guidances that we received from the committee is that DNA testing is a destructive analysis, and therefore, due to cultural beliefs of the Native American community that was represented on that committee, it was not recommended at the time. One of the things I wanted to indicate here is that not all Native American federally recognized tribes have the same belief in DNA testing, but an overwhelming majority do believe that it is against the cultural beliefs of their groups. Each group has their own unique language, culture, government, but there seems to be a very strong point of view that the destruction of the human remains is against their beliefs, and therefore they're actually not, there is a lot of concerns on how the DNA results will be used in trying to determine identity and what they feel often, and I'm not a representative of their, so I'm not speaking for it, but this is a theme that I hear keep coming up, is that it reduces a culture to a biology, and they are that's just something that is a risk they're not willing to take at the time.
Thank
All
you,
right.
Christy. Basically, Mr. Chairman, this is John Crane again. I think there were several members of the AAB who felt like that the DNA testing would be desirable, and that was mentioned in the meeting. And, of course, we did have we added to the proposed amended resolution the fact that we would involve other groups in an advisory capacity with this particular permit. So it was, as I said, a very productive meeting. We had, I thought, we had an archaeologist from Texas A&M University who had some very strong feelings about this particular project, and I think he was, most all the archaeologists tended to agree with him, and so that summarizes what I'd like to say about the meeting, Jim. John.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jim Grisseth. I'd like to make just a few comments.
Just 1 minute, please, Jim. John, I want to thank you again for chairing that yesterday and your very detailed report here. Now, I'm going to open this to public discussion concerning the permit application, and I'll call on Jim Brousseff, who's chairman of the AAB and a valued member of our Texas Historical Commission. Jim?
Jim Brousseff, again, chairman of the Antiquities Advisory Board. Thank you for allowing me to make a few comments here. The meeting of the Antiquities Advisory Board, as Vice Chair Crane indicated, was, I think, very, very good, a lot of good discussion, focused mainly around two issues, as Chairman Vice Chair Crane indicated, DNA analysis and consultation with lineal descendants. And I'll speak to the DNA analysis and why that was considered so important by members of the AAB. And it really comes down to that we have the remains that are buried in the Church of the Alamo are going to be Native American and non-Native American remains. And the way the remains are being handled right now, they're being assumed to be all Native American, and Native Americans are making the decision on the DNA analysis, and I appreciate their concerns about that. But there were members of the public that are saying that they have ancestors that are not Native American that are buried in the church, and that they want DNA analysis to be able to identify those people and allow them to be, you know, treated appropriately as they think is needed, which would be quite likely different than how Native Americans would be treated. And so the idea was that the DNA analysis could be done as a first step to identify Native American ancestry versus non-Native American ancestry. And after that first step is done, further DNA analysis could then be done on the non-Native American remains that are there. And then on the lineal consultation, there was a lot of discussion that the Native Americans and the particularly the top Pilam Native American group, and then also the Alamo Defenders Descendants Association, they have individuals that are buried, descendants or ancestors are buried in the Church of the Alamo, and they would like to have be part of the consultation on what takes place with those remains, since they're directly lineal descendants of those remains. And that concludes my comments.
Jim, thank you. Is there any member of the executive committee that have a question for either John Crane or Jim Brousseff?
Yes, I do. This is Earl Broussard, Austin. And I'm going to push and probe, so guide me. The Pilam is really not a tribe. Does that understand that?
They are not federally recognized. This is Jim Brousseff. They are not federally recognized tribe. They are descendants of the Native American people that were at the Alamo.
Right. The issue of the DNA is from a tribal point of view. Is this Christy? Could you articulate that? The tribes do not want DNA studies.
That is correct. The tribes that are represented on the community on the Alamo Archaeology Advisory Committee do not want DNA testing done. They feel it is against their cultural beliefs. And this is six separate tribes that are represented, although I will say that beyond the six tribes, it is a common theme that DNA is not widely accepted within the Native, the federally recognized Native American tribes.
And the I've looked at the Alamo Mission Archaeological Advisory Committee as a fairly hefty committee in terms of outstanding people. Are there any of the advisory committee tribes defendants or descendants?
This is Christy Nichols again.
Yeah.
This is Christy Nichols again. And to answer that, the groups that are represented, four out of them have cultural ties to the San Antonio and Bexar County area. One of those groups is the Mescalero Apache, and when you review the burial records of the Alamo Mission, there, or actually Valero Mission, what we do see is that there is representatives of the Apache tribe, the Lipan Apache tribe, that are buried at the mission. The Lipan Apache was one of the three tribes that creates the Mescalero Apache tribe that was removed from Texas in the late 1800s and resituated in New Mexico. In addition, we have representatives from the Caddo tribe. The Caddo also were in and around the area once the other three missions from East Texas were removed to San Antonio. We do have a representative from the Tonkawa tribe, and in reviewing the burial records, we do believe at least one potentially, there's more than one likely, but there's at least one that we can identify that is a descendant of the Tonkawa tribe. We do also believe that there is members of the Wichita and affiliated tribes, and although they're not represented on the committee, they are interested in what's going on at the site.
And I was not in the meeting yesterday, so I'm not aware of the representation from the people that spoke on behalf of this DNA and lineal testing. But, it is a question of how we can ignore the advisory committee from the applicant with such impressive credentials. Was that addressed in any of the questioning? I guess I'll go to John Crane on that one.
We did not, excuse me, it's John Crane. We did not have all the information yesterday. So the point that was raised was primarily from our archaeologists. Austin Toms with Texas A&M University felt like it was something that should be done, and I thought he made a very impassioned plea for the DNA testing. And we also had strong statements from Doug Boyd and from John Lois, and they're members of AAB. So I think the archaeologists were pretty strong in their point of view on this subject.
However, we don't know at this point if they had tribe. Do they have tribe standing at all, or they represent? Are they just archaeologists that like to have DNA?
I think it's that they feel like it's an opportunity to test and to, that's my impression. That way we could find out more. And it's basically the science. It's the science.
And I'm sorry to put you in that position, John.
It was very convincing to me as someone listening that it would be of value to the scientific community to do this testing. This is not something that would just be done as a lark. This would be a valuable contribution.
Absolutely.
To understanding more about the Alamo.
Earl, this is Jim Brzeth.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Jim Brzeth, Chairman of the Antiquities Advisory Board, and I think one of the critical issues about the DNA analysis is that not all of these human remains that are to be exhumed may be Native American. Some of them may be non-Native American. And to treat them as if they're Native American is not necessarily appropriate. And the way to get to that answer is each individual set, is it Native American or not. DNA analysis is the only
convincing way we can do that. The state of preservation is so poor of the remains that traditional observations that you can make will not work out.
Jim, what makes you take the position they're not all Native Americans?
Oh, we just know from the burial records that some of the remains in there could well be some of the defenders of the Alamo that were buried in the church.
We're talking over each other. Jim Brusseth?
Yes, so we know from the records and some of the information that's out there that it's quite likely that not all the remains buried in the church are Native American. And so I think there was public concern that by treating all the remains as Native American, we're overlooking the fact that some of the remains are not Native American, and it's not appropriate to treat them that way.
Did you say, this is Earl again, did you say defenders?
It's possible, yes.
Can I ask
well, not
the
defenders. Not defenders, excuse me. But the people, no, wrong. But people related to the Alamo that are not Native American.
Okay. Earl, the two of you walked on each other. Did you have another comment?
Well, I would like to ask the Alamo group what they believe in terms of the determination of whether they may be Native Americans or not. Christy.
Yes, sir. This is Christy Nichols from the Alamo. When examining the burial records that we do have of the mission period, there are a few instances in which other individuals who were not the Native American residents of the mission were buried at the site. We don't know exactly where they were, although there is, I think, three instances in which that we do know that there were individuals buried inside the church. I believe two of them were listed as being of Native American descent, and another one was listed as being of Spanish descent. I believe it was a Presidio soldier. When we're reviewing the burial records that we have, there is a couple other instances of where Presidio soldiers were buried at the site, and some other members of the outside community. Most of the burial practices ended at Valero and was taking up over at San Fernando, most likely around 1803 to 1805. So after that, there would be very few chances of additional people being buried at the site. And if they were, they would have been related to, most likely to, if at all, members of the soldiers from the flying company. That were occupying the mission and using it as a fort, and these would have been your Spanish and Mexican soldiers at that time. We do not have any evidence of any defender being buried inside the church, and all accounts indicate that there was three funeral pyres outside of the mission compound that the defenders' bodies were burned.
Okay. If I could, to the executive committee, I think it may be appropriate for us to call upon the AG's office. Dave Gordon, are you on the phone?
I'm here, yes.
Okay. Do you think that we need, in order to clarify what we've just discussed is not on this permit request? So is it time to go into a closed session for you to brief the executive committee on what may need to happen on this DNA issue, or should it?
Yes.
We go ahead in open session?
We can go into the closed session now. What I would ask for that is first that you make the announcement of the closed session, and then we will need to assemble only the...
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay.
Dave, I'll obviously do that. I wanted your opinion. Now, I don't know how. Operator, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
All right. you have the names of the members of the committee, correct?
I have the names of all the speakers on the call.
We will need the committee members only.
Yeah, we want the committee members only. That's Ms. White, Mr. Crane, Peterson, Broussard, and now.
And then I will interject. We'd also like to have Mark Wolf and Brad Jones in that discussion.
Pardon?
We would also like to have Mark Wolf and Brad Jones in that closed session, too.
Oh, wait a minute. Who is this?
This is David Gordon at the AG's office.
Yeah. Remember, we need to identify ourselves. Now, I'm going to ask the operator to bring them back in. I'd like to have just you and the executive committee to start with.
Okay.
Okay. As the operator, do you want to be placed in a separate room?
Yes, but let me read something to start with. The time is now 10:40 a.m., and the committee will go into closed session to discuss Agenda Item 2 with its legal counsel pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071. The committee will resume an open session at the end of the closed session. Members of the public may remain on the public line during the closed session. Okay, operator, it's all yours.
Okay, please tell me all the names of the people we're going to transfer into the closed room.
All right. John Crane, Pete Peterson, Earl Broussard, Daisy White, John Now, David Gordon. In a minute, operator, in a minute, we are going to have Mark Wolf and who? Dave, who else? Brad Jones?
Brad Jones.
Okay. Did you get that, operator?
After David, it was Brad Jones.
Mark Wolf and Brad Jones.
Okay. One moment while I transfer each of you back. You be silent. I'll let you know when you're back into a private room. One moment.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You are all back into the main with everybody else.
All right. Thank you, operator. It is now 11:29 a.m. on April 15th, and the committee is back on the record in open session. No votes were taken in closed session, and we will continue our discussion of agenda item number 2. I'd like to thank the executive committee and those on the call for a very spirited discussion. I will report to everyone that no action was taken, and in fact, we have set a probable date of Friday the 24th for another executive committee discussion that would be to address a recommendation coming from the staff on the issues in front of us. Now, I'll ask our AG, Dave, do you have any other comments?
This is David Gordon. No, what I would like to recommend is that folks in the public look out for a posting for the 24th of this month, which would be within that 30-day request deadline by GLO. And I will understand that the staff of the Historical Commission will make a recommendation based on the material that has been presented in the discussion today.
Correct. And I would just ask that the staff circulate that with enough lead time for the executive committee to analyze and form opinions. Is there any other discussion from the executive committee?
No.
Being none, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, and thanks everyone for your time today. We'll visit short in the near future. Thank you.
Whoa.
And that does conclude your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using AT&T Teleconference. You may now disconnect.